In Michigan, state legislators draw our congressional and legislative districts every 10 years. With the process controlled by whichever party is in power at the time, that process can turn into nasty political gamesmanship. A Texas case now before the U.S. Supreme Court, however, could have a significant impact on how these districts are drawn and, in turn, Michigan politics. That case is Evanwell v. Abbott. Now, here to help us understand how this Texas case could matter here in Michigan is Eric Loefer, who's president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. So good to see you, Eric.
Thank you for having me back.
The CRC has just released a report exploring the potential effects of Evanwell v. Abbott. Why should we in Michigan be paying close attention to this case, Eric?
So this is really the root of democracy, how we pick people to represent us in our state House districts and Senate districts and how we're represented in Congress. The basic of it is that we're going to divide the state into roughly equal districts, each one representing a same number of people so that they can take our interest to Lansing or take it to Washington, D.C. and tell the others elected what we think should happen with our public policies and how the laws should be made.
So what is this case about? Tell us more so we can understand what it is the Supreme Court's deciding in this case.
So as long as we've been doing this, dating back to our original U.S. Constitution, we've decided what those districts should look like based on the total number of people in each district.
So total population.
So every 10 years, the census comes through and counts each household and says how many people live here. And based on that, we now have about 9.9 million people in the state of Michigan. You take that and divide it by the number 110 House districts. So 9.9 million divided by 110, you come up with a target population. Well, down in Texas and a number of other southern states, they have a problem with the number of immigrants, both legal and illegal immigrants in the state, who aren't eligible to vote. And the people bringing suit here say, really, we should be counting the number of people eligible to vote because that's who they're representing. If you had a pure democracy, everyone would come together and decide what the law should be. But in this case, we're doing this based on how many people are voting. Mm-hmm. So they're suggesting instead of taking total population, let's count how many people are older than 18 years old, how many people are actually citizens, and how many people are eligible because you have some people that are incarcerated or otherwise not eligible. So after you weed all those people out, let's take that population and divide it. So down in Texas, that's a big difference. There's a fairly significant difference between their total population and that CVAP or citizen voting age population.
How about here in Michigan?
In Michigan, it's less of a difference, but where those people are is pretty significant.
Okay, because I want to get a sense of, let's say the Supreme Court should decide we should go with this CVAP, Citizens of Voting Age Population. How might that immediately affect Michigan districts? I'm wondering if you could give us an example of how could it play out in some Michigan districts?
What we did in our paper is we did the math and looked at how each district currently varies from the target population, mm-hmm. and then did the math, how would this play out for using this different situation. And the biggest difference was for the district that represents East Lansing, where we have a house district not far from the total target population now. The law basically says you have to be within 5%, give or take, give or minus. And so it's not far off, but if they use this other voting population mm-hmm. method, it'd be 16.5% off. So a fairly big difference. So you say, so we can adjust that district. Well, that means you have to adjust all the districts around it. And it has this domino effect. It's not as simple as adjusting 5 or 10 districts because you have to take those from somewhere.
Okay.
If you blow up the balloon, something's got to give. Or if you shrink the balloon, then something's got to fill that space. So every district in the state would be affected by this.
But particularly this 69th State House District, this is Democrat Sam Singh, who is the representative?
That's right.
Okay.
Most of the districts that would be affected are in our urban areas, in Detroit and Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo, Lansing. But again, just because that's where the districts are furthest from the target, it's not as simple as just affecting those districts because everything is going to have to get changed to make up for those, to either allow them to expand or allow them to contract and have something fill that void.
So how might a new formula, if the High Court makes this decision to go again with the citizens of voting age population, they could decide not to, right? They could decide to maintain status quo.
Yeah, so that's part of it. This is before the U.S. Supreme Court. They agreed to hear the case, and then Justice Scalia died.
Yes.
So I have no idea. I'm not into reading the tea leaves of the Supreme Court. I don't know how they were inclined to vote on this before his death. Now that he has passed away, if there's a chance it was a split court, they might sit on it for another year until another justice is appointed, however long that's going to take. That's a whole different show, I suppose.
Yes. Because if they did come to that, I think I'm right here. If they are split 4-4, it kicks back to the appeals court decision, doesn't it?
Well, they can sit on it.
They could sit, yes.
Until they have a full panel of justices.
Yes.
Again.
So that's.
So assuming we get to a decision, they could say, no, we're going to allow total population. This is the way it's always been done. Mm-hmm. Who are we to second guess James Madison and everyone before?
The founding fathers.
Right.
Yes.
They could say it's up to the states to decide that they're choosing their legislative districts. They can use total population. They can use voting age population. They could leave that discretion. Or they could say, no, there's merit in this argument and everyone should use citizens of voting age population. And it would go from that point forward. Now, this is 2016. We're 4 years from the next census. They might say, let's just ride this out. And after the next census, we'll use this new voting age population. The disturbance for two elections might not be worth it to them. You know, again, just reading tea leaves, but you could see that scenario as well.
Well, Eric, let's say that ultimately the decision is made. We're going to switch. Everybody's going to have to go with this CVAP, the Citizens of Voting Age Population. How might that affect the politics in Michigan? By that, I'm wondering who would win and who would lose.
The districts that are furthest from that target population tend to be our urban districts. Those districts tend to be democratically represented. So if you're affecting those, it's a question of how much on the margin are they going to be affected, whether that is enough to affect the political bent of the population there. In our estimation, it's not so much that we would expect a wholesale change, but it could in a few districts be enough to matter. I think that's really, we tend to look at the policy of it, not the politics of it.
Yes.
But just as we've looked at who are those districts, how would it be affected, the fact that they are so many urban districts, I think is significant.
Evanwell v. Abbott, it really is on hold, isn't it? Everybody's got to wait and see then what it is the Supreme Court chooses to do following the death of Justice Scalia.
Yeah, it's behind the curtain. We don't really know what's going on there. We don't know how it might have played out otherwise, so we just have to wait and see at this point.
Eric Lofer is president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Always great to talk with you, Eric. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, renowned poet Linda Gregerson talks about her new collection, Prodigal.
We hear every day news that is simply overwhelming in its scale, most often about suffering in the world.
This is Stateside from Michigan Radio.